and the world of freedom.
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
This is Radio Goethe Magazine with Arndt Peltner. News and information from the heart of Europe.
Hello and welcome to Radio Goethe Magazine. I'm Arndt Peltner. 20 years ago, Germany was reunified. Less than a year after the Berlin Wall came down, the divided country was one again. I have an interview about the events 20 years ago, so stay tuned.
Es ist 2 Uhr. Sie hören Nachrichten. Die deutsche Zweistaatlichkeit ist beendet. Um Mitternacht wurde der Beitritt der Deutschen Demokratischen Republik zur Bundesrepublik Deutschland wirksam.
October 3rd marks the day Germany was reunified in 1990. Less than 11 months earlier, the Berlin Wall crumbled. The Iron Curtain was no more. 20 years seems like a long time, but enough to bring two separate countries and two opposing systems together? I talked to the German General Consul in San Francisco, Peter Rothen. Mr. Rothen, talking about the German reunification, one has to look to 1989 and the fall of the Berlin Wall. Where were you in the summer of 1989?
Well, I was indeed very lucky to be very close to these historic events, because I came back from posting in Africa in early 88, and I took up a job which turned out to be sort of the best possible that I could get in order to witness very closely the German reunification. Namely, I got to the foreign minister's press office and became the responsible officer for exactly the area, the geographical area that was involved, namely the what was then the German Democratic Republic, East Germany, and all the countries east of Germany, which at that time belonged to what we called the so-called Warsaw Bloc, the Warsaw Pact Alliance, the Communist Bloc, as we called it, meaning the European Communist countries plus the Soviet Union. That was my main responsibility, and it extended even further east to include China and other Asian countries. So I was dealing with this area that then in 88, 89 really had what I would call a veritable revolution.
What was the mood in the German State Department? Was the diplomatic corps expecting something like the fall of the wall?
Well, I would have been reluctant to reply to this question for a couple of years, but I think by now the archives have been opened, and it's now well known that we were really completely unprepared. And although we always felt that East Germans who took refuge in West German embassies in these Eastern European countries, that they, of course, were our countrymen, and they we wanted to treat them as best we could. There were simply very clear limits. We could not give these people West German passports because they would have had to exit from a communist country, be it Hungary or Czechoslovakia or Poland, into West Germany, which they couldn't because of technical reasons, because they had no incoming visa stamp. So we couldn't give them what they wanted, and over the years, the German government, the West German government, had worked out a rather complicated solution. These people could then, they would have to go back to East Germany, apply for emigration, and in most cases that was granted with financial aid from the West German government. So we had lived for years with a situation where such refuge taking of East Germans into West German embassies took place. And we had found a way to deal with it. And the big difference was in 89 that those East Germans who took refuge in Prague, in Budapest, and in Warsaw, in the West German embassies, in this year, they refused to accept the old procedure, namely to go back to East Germany to apply for immigration, wait for a couple of months, and then to be bought out, as it actually happened. But they said, we don't want to go back to East Germany. We are fed up with this system. We are not leaving the West German embassy until we can get directly from here to West Germany. That was a very new situation, and we were surprised. We were taken by surprise with this attitude, and we, in the beginning, we didn't know how to handle it.
But why was nobody prepared in West Germany for the events in the summer and fall of 1989?
Oh, absolutely. You are right. We were completely caught by surprise. And I will tell you in a second why I'm so certain of that. But I will first try to answer your second question, namely, why didn't we know it? And I have to tell you, I simply don't know. On hindsight, one cannot understand. I think the only explanation is that with all the means of sort of gorging the spirit in East Germany that we had at this time already lots of Germans in our diplomatic representation in East Berlin. We had there were journalists accredited in East Berlin, West German and Western journalists. We simply apparently did not get the right idea about the readiness of the East Germans to go ahead, and of course we nobody knew how the East German leadership would react. And one thing one has to really recall here is that the opening of the wall could have been a very nasty, very bloody thing. It wasn't, luckily. It wasn't because one has to give them credit for that. The East German leadership, instead of sort of trying to fend back the people who wanted freedom, instead of trying to fend them back by force, they, at the last moment, they realized, well, this is a force that is so strong that we cannot hold it up. So they let it go. And that was a very, very fortunate development. It could have been otherwise. But again, to come back to your question, no, we did not assess properly the determination of the East German population to rise up. I think it's this what it is. And I said that I wanted to give you an example. Well, the example is that on the very day that the wall went up, the head of government at the time, Chancellor Helmut Kohl, and the foreign minister, who was then Mr. Hans-Dietrich Genscher, both politicians went to Warsaw to perform there a one-week visit, which had been planned for month and month, and which was considered to be a very, very important event in the process of improving German-Polish relations. So on the 9th of November, and I know it because I was part of that delegation, two big German government airplanes took to the air from Bonn, one filled with the Chancellor and the Foreign Minister and lots of high government officials, and one plane filled with all the political commentators of all the media in Germany, TV crews, newspaper journalists, a huge delegation of several hundred people took to Warsaw on the 9th of November, got there, the official visit started, the Chancellor, in the evening, he went to a official banquet, which was offered by the Polish head of government, and the journalists were sitting in their hotel in the press room and waiting for the Chancellor to come back to brief them when they saw on television those pictures of East German cars all of a sudden driving freely through the gates of the Berlin Wall, and people from East Berlin flocking behind the cars into West Berlin. So the crazy thing on hindsight is that the opening of the wall happened when the German head of government and the foreign minister were out of the country, and they were out of the country because they had never expected that the wall would open so fast.
The Berlin Wall came down on November 9th, 1989. Germany was reunified on October 3rd, less than a year later. Were you surprised by the pace of this development?
I would say I wasn't surprised. It had to happen at a fast pace. And I can probably say that again because I was fortunate to be able to witness that process from very closely. So I think there were two main factors to explain why it went so fast. First, and that was both factors actually were very lucky coincidences. If we hadn't had these two situations of luck, of chance, I think the whole process might have been much more difficult. Now, the first thing is that the West German leadership, they, especially the Chancellor Kohl and the Foreign Minister, both understood immediately that a historic development was about to happen and they had to grasp the opportunity. So both of them didn't waste one day. They both understood what we had longed for decades before, namely the reunification of the two parts of Germany which had been separated through the war, and then Berlin, which had been even divided up by the wall. This reunification, which for decades had seemed to not come closer, but rather fade away into a very distant future with the establishment of the two politically opposed blocs, the Western countries allied in NATO on the one hand, and the Eastern communist countries allied in the Warsaw Pact. While up until then the reunification seemed to become less and less likely in a foreseeable future, all of a sudden it sort of was on the table, but it had to be, people had to take it. It was not yet completed. It was an opening, but one had to work on it to make it become real. And I think really the very historic achievement for especially Chancellor Kohl lies in the fact that he and Mr. Genscher too, he immediately sensed this is the chance and we have to grab it with all the energy we have. We have to put everything behind that, because this chance will not be on the table for long. Now, the second thing which I would like to mention here, there are several others that I could, but I don't want to. I just want to focus on the most important ones. The second important factor, I think, was that we had the really unconditional support of the United States when we were negotiating the what we called the external aspects of German reunification. Now, why was there such a thing as external aspects? Because the former allies of World War II, the USA, Britain, France, and the Soviet Union, they still had some rights over Germany, especially over Berlin, remaining from the Second World War. And the two Germanies, West Germany and East Germany, they could not settle all the aspects of a reunified Germany without the consent of these four Allied powers. So we had actually two tracks of negotiations. The one track was the internal one. How do we integrate the communist East German economy, which was completely broke, by the way, into the modern West German economy? How do we integrate a completely different institutional, constitutional, legal system of East Germany into the West German system? And millions of practical questions. That was the internal track. And the external track was we have to have an agreement by which the four former allies from World War II agree to renounce their rights from this period and to agree to certain terms of German reunification. Now, in regarding this external track, when we had the chance to reunify and when we started these negotiations, we all of a sudden, to our surprise, felt that we were in a rather strange situation, because on the part of the Soviets, there were some problems, because they did not at the beginning agree to some of the ideas that we had, but basically, and that was still due to Mr. Gorbachev, basically the Soviets agreed to unification. But then we realized that some of our Western friends, although they always had said they wished us well with reunification, when they saw the concrete prospect, they were not so thrilled, because they apparently they feared that Germany would again become too strong. It would probably become less European, and all of a sudden we felt there was among some of our friends a certain reluctance. And therefore it was invaluable that the biggest of the four allies, the United States, they had not one reservation. They were 100% behind German reunification, and because of the great political weight of the United States, that was for us of invaluable help. So I would say these two factors, in my view, were the most important ones that allowed the process to go ahead speedily. It was indeed, it was very hard for those who were in the middle of these negotiations, because there were thousands of details to be sorted out. And I think everybody on the Western side, and especially the West German government, Chancellor Kohl and Foreign Minister Genscher, we knew that we only had a very limited window of opportunity, because we saw that Mr. Gorbachev, who made this all possible, who was the man who was in favor of reforming all the communist countries, and who was in favor of German reunification, we saw that his position was becoming more and more difficult in his own country, because of course his politics had the consequence that, and people in the Soviet Union, the people in power, they saw it. They saw that the Soviet Union would lose influence, relatively speaking, if they would let all their European allies go and reform or become Western. The Soviet Union would lose not only military allies, but it would become politically isolated, and the pressure would mount on the Soviet Union itself to give up its communist structure. So Gorbachev and his reform policy became more and more, got more and more opposition from the traditional bureaucracy in the Soviet Union. And so we knew we had to act fast, because nobody knew for how long Mr. Gorbachev would still be in power and would be able to support this process.
20 years after the German reunification, is the process of reunification finished?
I think, and I've thought about this question quite a bit these last weeks, with us approaching now the 20th anniversary, and I have to tell you, I really believe that we meaning all the Germans, various German governments, we by and large have done a very good job, and we have largely achieved reunification. Now, this being said, it is completely clear that there is still quite a bit of work to be done. And this is probably the biggest problem in my view, there are many more people unemployed in the eastern part of Germany than there are in the West. And why is that so? I think it is so because the East German economy, the economy of the communist Germany, was completely outdated, and it was completely run down. You have to imagine that in the communist economies, there was not only no innovation, but there was not even a regular investment in the sense that that machinery would be changed after a number of years against more modern machinery. In all the formerly communist countries, you had plants which were technologically at the state of, I would say, probably the 50s. And because there was no private enterprise, because there was no private responsibility, these plants, not only were they already soon outdated, but they were simply run down. Nobody put money into buying new machinery. So when all these economies broke down at the end of 89, we in the West only saw how bad it had been, and again we hadn't known this. We had looked probably at most of the factories from outside, and had seen that there was no paint on the buildings, and they all looked rather shabby. But we somehow thought, well, inside they must have some good stuff. We believed they were much stronger than in fact they were. So when in East Germany, when the East German economy all of a sudden felt the wind of competition, it simply fell down like a card house. And I'm now probably overstating it a little bit, but you can say that practically all workers in East Germany lost their jobs with unification. More or less everybody. The whole state no longer worked, no longer functioned. The whole business sector no longer worked. So all of a sudden, millions and millions of people became jobless, and most of the factories they were broken beyond repair. So what had to be done was to create a completely new economic structure and also political structure, and to get people into new jobs. And that was a monumental task, which I have to say, we luckily somehow, I think, managed to perform quite well at a very, very high cost. One has to say that too. West German taxpayers, they paid a lot of money. I feel it was justified, because the East Germans, it wasn't their fault that they in the year 49 or 45, whenever you would like to make that point, they ended sort of on the right side, on the wrong side of the border, and they came under communist rule, and we luckily escaped. So the fact that they could not develop as we could was something that had to be compensated. And Germans understood that, West Germans. We had to pay an extra tax, and we're still paying it, and the government put up a huge budget deficit because it had to spend that money. But Germans, the German electorate, they understood this, and they approved it, and I'm very happy that this is the case, because I personally also believe it was right to do it that way. But one has to say, it cost a lot of money, and it took a certain time, and it's still not yet fully completed, because we also, in the last 10 years, had a very slow economy. We had all kinds of other problems. So economically, I think, and I hope that we will still be able to see even more improvement in East Germany. But on the other hand, we have achieved a great lot. We have political stability. We have really renewed the infrastructure in East Germany to an extent that puts it now at the top of all countries. In East Germany, practically all the roads have been built anew, all the rail tracks have been built anew, all the telephone lines, all the power plants, all the purification plants. East Germany, therefore, now has the most modern infrastructure of any place in the world, and foreign investors, also from the US, they are realizing that, and they have started coming to, or especially also to East Germany, to take advantage of these very favorable investment conditions. But still, I think a little bit needs to be done. But looking back on what it was 20 years ago, and looking back at what it is now, I think we have been very lucky. We can be very grateful that things have gone so well, because now we are a united country.
That was today's Radio Goethe magazine. You can find this and former shows online at radiogoethe.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Arndt Peltner.
Change. August, summer.